Welcome to the Shir Ramban Parshas Ekev. Parshas Ekev continues the description of Moshe Rabbeinu reviewing many of the events that happened during the 40 years in the desert. And among the events that he speaks about in Parshas Ekev is the Egel Azov, the golden calf, the breaking of the first set of luchos, the first set of tablets, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu to fashion a second set of tablets. So that command comes in the beginning of Perek Yud. Bo'esahi, at that time, Omar Hashem Eli, Hashem said to me, says Moshe Rabbeinu, P'saluch Hoshnei Luchos Avonim Korishonim, hew out for yourself two tablets of stone, just like the first ones, Va'ale Eli Hahora, and come up to me at the top of the mountain. V'yosiso lecha aron eitz. And you should make a wooden aron, a wooden cabinet, to put the luchos into. V'echtov al haluchos es hadvar mesher hoyu al haluchos arishon mesher shibarta. Continues Hashem, I will write on those tablets, those things that were on the first tablets which you broke, with samtom ba'aron. And then you should take those second tablets and put them into the Aron. So continues Moshe Rabbeinu, V'as Aron atzei shittim. So I made an Aron out of acacia wood. V'evsol shnei luchos avonim korishonim. I chiseled out two tablets of stone just like the first ones. V'al ha'hora v'shnei aluchos biyodi. And I went up to the top of the mountain with the two tablets in my hands. What was the nature of this aron, this ark, this cabinet that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make and indeed does make in order to place the luchos hashnios, the second set of tablets, into that aron? So Rashi over here writes, Lo zehu ha'aron she'oso b'tzalil. We shouldn't be confused and think that the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to make and makes at this point was the Aron that Bezalel made and that was in the Mishkan. Sharei Mishkan lo nisasku bo ad la'achar yom ha'kippurim. Because Klal Yisrael would not be involved in the making of the Mishkan until after Yom Kippur. And this statement about the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the mountain after chiseling out a second set of tablets, that's something that started Rosh Chodesh Elul. So it was over 40 days until the Mishkan would be built. Ki biridito min hahar tzivo lohem amaleches ha-mishkan. It's only when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain the second time with the luchos on Yom Kippur that he told the people about building the Mishkan. Uvitzalil also mishkan tchilo v'yachakach aron v'kelem. And Bezalel, when he started building stuff, he first built the Mishkan, and only afterwards did he build the Kelim, including the Aron, that would go into the Mishkan. Nimsa ze Aron acher hoya. So obviously this is not the Aron that Bezalel made. That's at least another month and a half down the line that's going to be constructed. This Aron age, this wooden Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, was a different Aron. Mizeu, so what was the nature of this Aron? This is the Aron that used to go out before Klal Yisrael when they would fight wars, that we find references to the Aron going before them when they fought. In contrast, the Aron that was made by Bezalel, the Aron that was part of the Mishkan, stayed in the Mishkan. There was one exception. We know the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. It tells us that when the Mishkan was in Shiloh and the Jews were fighting against the Plishtim, they took the Aron to battle out against the Plishtim. Tragically, the Aron was captured by the Plishtim. It was only later that they returned the Aron. That Aron was quote-unquote the real Aron. That was the Aron that was actually normally in the Mishkan. But ordinarily, that Aron didn't leave the Mishkan. Ordinarily, when Klal Yisrael went out to war, they used this wooden Aron that had been made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Although Rashi doesn't say it, the implication is that the construction of these two Aronos were different one from another. We know that the Aron made by Bezalel was wood in the inside, but it had an inner covering and an outer covering of gold. There were three levels. The Aron, which is being described over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu made when he was at Har Sinai, is described as an Aron Eitz. It's an Aron made out of wood. It sounds like there was no gold whatsoever. So in other words, there are two different constructions. One Aron sat in the Mishkan. The other Aron stayed with Klal Yisrael. It just was an Aron Milchama. It was an Aron that went out before the Jewish people when they went out to war. So writes Rashi over here, this Aron had significance even after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ramban quotes this Rashi, and he comments on this Rashi, V'divrei agodo heim shemotza kosuv b'tanchuma. Rashi's source for distinguishing between these two Aronos is a Medrash Tanchuma, which obviously is an authoritative source. However, as we're going to see in a few moments, the Ramban himself claims that while what Rashi is quoting is an authentic tradition within Chazal, in point of fact, it's a machlokas, it's a debate within Chazal as to the nature of this Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made. And he's going to argue, as we're going to see in a few moments, that the particular position that Rashi quotes, the Ramban feels, is not the majority opinion in Chazal. He goes on to say as follows. V'yesh l'sh'ol, v'achar she'hotzi mishom haluchos, unesanam ba'aron, she'oso b'tzalel, mo hoyo bozeh. Ramban starts off by asking the following question on Rashi. So okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu made this wooden aron, and he put the luchos into it. But obviously those luchos didn't stay in the wooden aron long term, because we know that those luchos, the Torah tells us explicitly, in Parshas Truma, Parshas Vayakel, the luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu received ultimately make it into the aron that's in the Mishkan, that Bezalel made. Okay, so then what was in this aron eitz, this wooden aron, that was Yotzei L'Milchama, that the Jews brought out to war? It would be odd if Klal Yisrael brought an empty box out to Milchama. The whole point of bringing the Aron out into war would be that somehow the Dvar Hashem, the Torah, is connected with that Aron. If you don't have the Luchos in the Aron, so it's a box. So what's the point of bringing an empty box out to war? So what do they have in the Aron? The Omrim, so some people answer, Sheshivrei Haluchos Hayusham B'chein Ba'agoda. So says the Ramban, some answer this question as follows, that Aron, that wooden Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, contained the Shivrei Luchos, the broken shards of the first set of Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu initially brought down from Har Sinai on Shiva Aser B'Tamuz. So in other words, there were two Aronos. The Aron in the Mishkan had the Luchos. The Aron that was Yotzei L'Milchama, the Aron that went out to war, had the Shivrei Luchos, had the broken pieces of the first Luchos. We're going to see in just a moment that that's an idea, this distinction between the two Aronos, one containing the Luchos, the other containing the Shivrei Luchos, is an idea which is already to be found in Tanoim. However, writes the Ramban on this, Aval Divrei Yochid Heim. But if that's the case, then this is not a majority opinion, it's a minority opinion. Shekach Shonino B'Masech HaShkolim. Because we find in Masech HaShkolim, in the Yerushalmi, the following Braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, Omer, Shnei Aronos, Hoyu Im Yisrael Ba'midbo. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi says, there were two Aronos that Klal Yisrael had while they were in the desert. Echad Shahayu Shivrei Aluchos Munachin Bo. One Aron had the broken Luchos, and that, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloi, was the Aron that went out with Klal Yisrael when they went to war. And the other Aron, which stayed in the Mishkan, what we consider to be the more famous Aron, that had the actual Luchos, the non-broken Luchos, the second set of Luchos in that Aron. V'Rabbanan Omri, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloi. And they say, Echod Hoya, there was only one Aron, no two Aronos. Upam achas yotso b'mei eli v'nishva. That Aron normally never left the Mishkan. There was no special Aron that Klal Yisrael brought out with them to war. It happened one time that they brought the Aron from the Mishkan out into war during the days of Eli. And as we know, the results were disastrous. The Aron was captured and Shiloh was destroyed. So in other words, says the Ramban, what Rashi is quoting over here is a legitimate position in Chazal, but it's a Das Yochid, but it's a minority opinion. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Loi. The predominant opinion, that of the Chachamim, is that there was only one Aron. There weren't any two Aronos. So number one, the Ramban's claim is that if you look in the Rishalmi, it's a machlokes. And we know, generally speaking, Yochid v'Rabim, halacha k'Rabim. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Eloi is an individual. The contrary opinion is that of the Chachamim, the Rabim, the majority. So it stands to reason that we would follow the opinion of the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Eloi. So what's Rashi doing quoting what is essentially a Das Yochid, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Eloi? That's one point the Ramban makes. As the Ramban, it would seem, if you look at our Talmud Bavli, that the Bavli rejects Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi's opinion without even quoting it. How so? The Das Rabbu Seinu B'chol Makom B'Talmud, Chazal, in numerous different places in the Gemara, in Brachos, in Bava Basra, in Menachos, Eino Kane. It seems to be at odds with Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. Ella, Luchos v'shivrei luchos munachin ba'aron. Chazal say numerous times, three times in Shas, that you should know that the aron that's in the Mishkan contains both the luchos, the complete luchos that were brought down the second time by Moshe Rabbeinu, as well as the shivrei luchos, the broken shards of the first luchos that were brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu the first time around. That's Chazal famously say that we have to be careful when we see a Talmud Chacham who unfortunately is going senile, has lost his cognitive abilities. So we still have to treat that person with respect. He may not have, so to speak, the luchos anymore, but he still has the shivrei luchos. He has the broken pieces of the luchos. That's what he represents. He still has this broken Torah within him. And the shivrei luchos are also deserving of tremendous respect. Here, look, we keep the shivrei luchos and the luchos next to one another in the Aron. So that statement that the luchos v'shivrei luchos munachin ba'aron, that both the luchos and the broken luchos are together in the aron, is the exact opposite of what Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi is saying. That no, they weren't together in the aron. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi says there were two aronos. One had the luchos, one had the shivrei luchos. So the fact that Chazal in the Bavli consistently talk about the luchos and the shivrei luchos being together, and they say it as a matter of fact without even quoting a dissenting opinion, makes it clear that the Bavli doesn't even consider Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi's opinion worthy of mention. So certainly it doesn't make sense, says the Ramban, that Rashi should be quoting, essentially, that opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi in his commentary on the Chumash. V'od, another question. Ono yamod ha'oron hazeh maluchos arishonos kol yimei hamidbar. Let's even say that we'll accept this idea that there are two Aronos. That there's the Aron in the Mishkan that has the complete Luchos, and the Aron of Melchama, the Aron of War, that has the broken Luchos. So where was that Aron housed? Where was that Aron? Kiba Mishkan beveis kodshi ha-kodoshim la'achar ha-paroches ein shom shnei Aronos. It's pretty clear from the description of the Mishkan that there weren't two Aronos in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And when it describes how Shlomo HaMelech brought the Aron into the Kodesh HaKodashim and the Beis HaMikdash, also it seems pretty clear from the description in Navi that it wasn't like a two-for-one sale. He brought in two Aronos into the Kodesh HaKodashim. There was one Aron in the Kodesh HaKodashim. So if there was one Aron in the Kodesh HaKodashim, both in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, where was the other Aron housed? I mean, it would seem odd that they kept the Aron, even with the Shivrei Luchos, in some warehouse somewhere, right? They presumably put it in a Bekovedika place, in a an honorable position. So where was that place? We never find it mentioned anywhere, says the Ramban. And it just seems odd that there would be the second Aron floating around with the broken luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu got in Har Sinai. Hamichtov, michtov Elokimhu, with the writing of God's finger, Kaviyochel itself. And we're never told where it was housed, where it was. It just seems bizarre. So instead, says the Ramban, we don't hold like this Rashi. We don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi. There was one Aron. Clearly, the pasuk over here is talking about a wooden Aron that seems to predate the Mishkan and the Aron of Bezalel. So what's the nature of this Aron? Says the Ramban, Ha'aron hazeh shel Moshe. You're right, Moshe Rabbeinu did make a wooden Aron, and he put the luchos into that Aron. Kishenasa Arono shel Bezalel gnozuhu kedin tashmishei kedusha. This was a temporary holding spot for the luchos until the Aron of Bezalel was built. When the Aron of Bezalel was built, the luchos were moved into the Aron of Bezalel. They sat there with the Shivrei Luchos. And this Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, this wooden Aron, which is described here in the Pasuk, was put into Shemus the same way that even nowadays, if we had an Aron that was no longer in use, we put it into Shemus, we put it into Geniza, we would bury it, we would put it away. That's exactly what happened to this Aron. It did not continue through the centuries. It was something that was used for a brief period of time, maybe a month and a half or thereabouts. And then it was put away for the rest of history. Continues the Ramban. Zeh anochon odas rabbeinu. Everything that I've explained up till now, says the Ramban, that Moshe Rabbeinu made this temporary wooden Aron, which he put into Shemus, which he put into Geniza, once the Mishkan was built and the permanent Aron was fashioned. That's all in accordance with, you know, what the Mamari Chazal, what the Gemaras, the passages from the Yerushalmi seem to teach us. Ki al derech hapshat, but says the Ramban, I'll give you a slightly different way of understanding the Psukim, which does not seem to be the way Chazal understand it, but from a pshat perspective, from a simple perspective, is yet another way of understanding the Psukim. So again, just to summarize, we've had Rashi's way of explaining the Psukim, the Ramban's way of explaining the Psukim based on the way he understands Chazal to have understood the Psukim, and the Ramban's way of understanding the Psukim based on what he thinks is the simple pshat. Ki al derech hapshat yitochen ki v'yosisa l'cho aron eitz yirmoz l'aron she'osa b'tzala. Maybe the Aron, which is referenced here in Parshas Ekev, is really the Aron which Bezalel is going to make. In other words, V'yosisa l'cho aron eitz means ultimately, you're going to make, you, Bezalel, are going to make an Aron, which is eitz, which is wood inside. It's of course overlaid both inside and outside with gold. But that Aron is going to be the ultimate resting place of these luchos. And according to this interpretation, says the Ramban, there were never two Aronos. In other words, Rashi says, there were two Aronos, and it stayed like that throughout, you know, the whole Bayis Rishon period. But according to the Ramban says, there were two Aronos, there was an Aron made out of wood, and then that was put away, and then they used the permanent Aron. But now the Ramban is suggesting maybe the Pasuk is never talking about two Aronos from the get-go. There was only one Aron that was referenced. Vizeh, let me explain. Moshe Rabbeinu was told about building the Mishkan and its vessels from the very beginning when he was up in Har Sinai. And the very first part of the Mishkan which was told to Moshe Rabbeinu was make an Aron. Kihi ikar hakavana b'chol haMishkan liyos Hashem yoshev akruvim. Because the focal point of the entire Mishkan, says the Ramban, is that there should be an Aron there, and the Aron will be the place where the Shechina will dwell in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Yacharechein also with Soegel. Of course, we know after Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to tell Klal Yisrael to make a Mishkan, unfortunately Klal Yisrael made the Egel Azov. V'kashen Yisratza Hashem L'Moshe V'Amar Lo Sheyichtov Al Halucho Soelu K'michtov Arishon. So now, when Moshe Rabbeinu is being told once again, all right, second time around, you're going to make another set of luchos, and I'm going to put the Aseres HaDibros on them again. Sivo v'ksaro shiyase l'lucho so'ele oron eitz. Hashem simply reiterated the commandment that he had told Moshe Rabbeinu back in Parshas Truma. You'll see so aron at say shitiv. That's all that's being told here in the pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu is being reminded of the fact that ultimately these luchos are going to rest in an aron. He ha mitzvah lo luchos rishonos. That's the exact same mitzvah which was given to him with the first luchos. V'nei hisker lo ha mitzvah rishonos sheb'inin ha mishkan v'shehakol toli ba. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu reiterated to Moshe Rabbeinu this central mitzvah of the mishkan, namely to make an aron. U'mizeh lo mad Moshe lasos ha mishkan v'kelov kashen istave mitzchila. And Moshe Rabbeinu took away from Hashem's statement, V'yosisa l'cho aron eitz, that you should make an aron. Moshe Rabbeinu understood from that the commandment to build the Mishkan was still operative and had not been superseded by the fact that Klal Yisrael had sinned with the Egel. So that, says the Ramban, admits that doesn't seem to be the way Chazal are understanding this pasuk over here, but he says from a pshat perspective, it could be that the aron eitz, which is referenced here in the pasuk, is really not a separate aron. It's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu reiterating to Moshe Rabbeinu, when the time comes, you'll build an aron and by extension a mishkan into which to put these luchos hashniyos. Don't think that the commandment to build a mishkan has been impacted upon in any way by the unfortunate incident of the Egel Hazav, which has come since the original commandment to build a Mishkan. Now, so I think it's important to point out, the Ramban's understanding over here is very, very much l'shitaso. It's very, very much in accordance with the Ramban's understanding of the role of the Mishkan in general. There are Rishonim who understand that the Mishkan is essentially a concession that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, after the sin of the golden calf. Originally, they say, the plan was that there was no need for a Mishkan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have such an incredible relationship with Klal Yisrael that there would be no need for a physical building to somehow represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael sinned with the Chet HaEgel. It became clear that Klal Yisrael needed something tangible in order to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said, okay, Ego bad, but Mishkan good. I'll give you a Mishkan. The Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Truma totally rejects that way of looking at the Mishkan. The Ramban tells us that in his opinion, the Mishkan is the reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. And that thing, which is the central part of the Mishkan, is the Aron, as he says over here. The Aron is gold in order to represent the Esh, the fire, in which the Torah was given at Har Sinai. And by having the Mishkan, by having the Aron in the center of the Mishkan, the incredible event of Maimed Har Sinai is going to be a permanent feature of Jewish life going forward for many years thereafter. First the Mishkan and then the Beis HaMikdash. That was the plan from the get-go. The Mishkan, says the Ramban, was not a concession. The Mishkan was l'chatchila. The Mishkan was the ideal plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in order to keep the event of Maimed Har Sinai fresh and ongoing in the eyes of Klal Yisrael, even a long time after the actual event of Maimon Har Sinai had come to an end. So according to that, we understand that as central as the Mishkan and the Aron in particular are, it makes sense for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mentioning, even at this point, even as Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Har Sinai getting the Luchos Hashniyos, the second set of tablets, that you should know you're getting these tablets, but the Mishkan, and particularly the Aron, which is so central to the Mishkan, these mitzvos are still on. They haven't been impacted upon by the Chet El Egel in any way. It's not that the Mishkan would be a commandment because of the Chet El Egel. The opposite is true. Perhaps the Chet El Egel was so terrible that they would lose out on the opportunity to have the Mishkan. So that's what you might think. That's the Hava Amina. Comes the Pasuk and says, no, even after things have changed, but still, we'll see Silucho Aron Eitz, still, make an Aron, make a Mishkan, all of those Sivuyim, all of those commandments are still very much in place and haven't been changed in any way whatsoever. So here you have this fundamental Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. What was the nature of this Aron Eitz? According to Rashi, you have this idea that there were two Aronos that went with Klal Yisrael throughout the period of the Mishkan, this special Aron that was designated for Mochama, for war, that Klal Yisrael were able to use. Just point out that the Nitziv, Nishamek Dovar in Parshas Vayelech, offers a kind of a compromised position to explain how the Gemaras, the Bavlis, can still be reconciled with the position of Rashi as set out over here. Again, the Ramban had asked on Rashi. Rashi says that there was a separate Aron that was Yotzei L'Melchama that went out before the Jewish people when they went into war. And what was in that Aron? Presumably, the Shivrei Luchos, the broken Luchos. That's indeed what Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi says explicitly. But our Gemara, the Bavli, says that the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos were placed together in the same Aron. So doesn't that seem to contradict the idea of there being a permanent second Aron that always had the Shivrei Luchos in it? Says the Nitziv and HaMikdavar, not necessarily. Perhaps the way things worked was as follows. On a regular basis, the Aron in the Kodesh HaKodashim held both the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos. And the Aron Eitz, the wooden Aron that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, usually stood empty. And that would, of course, answer the question, so where was it? If it was an empty Aron, they didn't feel the need to keep it in any particularly special place. They stored it, they put it in a cabinet somewhere. When it came time for Milchama, when it came time for war, says the Nitziv, so they would go into the Kodesh HaKodashim, they would take the Shivrei Luchos out of the Aron that was in the Kodesh HaKodashim, they would place them into the Aron Eitz, into the wooden Aron, and then that wooden Aron would go out before the Jewish people in war, in Mochama. When the Mochama would end, they would take the Shivrei Luchos out of the Aron Eitz, and they'd put it back into the Aron, which was in the Kodesh HaKodesh. So in other words, usually, the Bavli, what the Bavli is saying usually was correct. Usually, the Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos, Munachim Ba'aron. The Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos were the Aron together. However, on a temporary basis, they would take out the Shivrei Luchos in order to place them in the wooden Aron when they went out to war. Can you just go into the Kodesh HaKodashim because you need to fetch the Shivrei Luchos? You're allowed to do that? So the Nitziv quotes from Rishonim that yes, you are allowed to do that. In other words, ordinarily, it's only the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur who goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim. But there are certain circumstances, litzarech, where it's necessary, where even craftsmen could go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. And as such, fetching the Shivrei Luchos from the Kodesh HaKodashim to put into the wooden Aron so that the Jews should go out to war is considered to be a tzarech, and they were allowed to do that, even not the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur.